Logan, what did you do?
Charles, the world is not the same as it was. Mutants. They're gone now.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
Same.
The only thing that's real.
Where is she?
Beneath the stain.
She's like you.
Of time.
Very much like you.
The feelings disappear.
She needs our help.
You are
someone to come along.
Someone has come along.
I am still right here. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt. I will keep myself. I would find. Away.
Logan, you still have time.
Oh man, now I'm all welled up all over again. God damn
I know.
It.
I feel like I just need a shot of whiskey.
That was an audio climax. Like I need my inhaler now.
Yeah, no kidding. And that was just the original teaser trailer. That was just like, oh my God, my heart.
We might just have to call that the intro.
Yeah,
there you go.
That was nice.
So we have Mr. Monday Night himself, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Mike.
And then we have Matt and Tim from the Not So Much But Us show, and I'm Cork from The Buzz.
Yay.
And we're doing a podcast.
Us.
Like a big, gigantic pack of
Cork.
Oreo cookies.
Right? I figured since this is a comic book movie, we might as well just call this like a one-shot crossover episode.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Totally. Infinite crisis cool. up in this bitch.
But just be honest, though. Danica's back there hiding, and she'll come in about a half hour, right?
Maybe. We'll see. They said something about leaving for Sweden. Like,
wow.
So, fun fact, Danica and I went and saw the movie right after the episode this morning. Like, we got off the air and then went to the movie theater and watched it.
Oh, so you, like, just seen it?
We got out of the theater 20 minutes ago.
Oh, and first time seeing it?
Yeah. So it is fresh.
Wow. That's
fun.
I saw
it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, same here. This should be a very interesting conversation then.
Right?
So we're talking about Logan then, right?
Yes, yes we are.
Dope. So I guess we should get a couple disclaimers out right up front. One, we're going NSFW, right?
Yep.
Because I think I already said fuck like twice.
I'm not editing twice.
Nice.
Yeah, there will be no editing.
That
no,
takes work.
No planning, no editing, no future.
Okay, cock balls.
Right.
Don't celebrate it, Frank.
I've waited like my whole life to just do something like that, and I just did it. Fuck it was.
There you go. So in addition to being the R-rated language, because, I mean, you know, Logan is an R-rated movie, so I why the fuck not? Let's go R-rated with the language. But we are also going full tilt spoilers, so everything will be spoiled. We're going to get really deep into this.
You have 30 seconds now to tune out.
He can't get up from that. You know what? Forego the hospital. Just send him right to the morgue because he's clearly deceased. By God, he's dead. He stubbed his toe, King. He's clearly dead. A pile driver on top of 3 feet. Oh, no, just get the dirt. Just pour the dirt right on his face. No funeral. Don't even call his mother. Clear out this arena right now. Can get everyone out of the building. This is officially a mausoleum because he's dead.
And now if you stuck around, you know you're getting spoilers.
That was nice. That was nice. It's going to be an articulate conversation, bitches.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly. So Corey, do you want to kind of guide the ship and start us off here? How do we want to do this?
I guess we start this off by saying this isn't Old Man Logan for those comic book fans out there.
That's I think as good a place to start as any. So yeah, so this is, you know, I guess I was going to say Old Man Logan in name only, but it's not even Old Man Logan. It's just Logan, which I'm okay with, because if they called it Old Man Logan and then this is the movie you get, I think there'd be some disappointed fans out there, question mark?
Yeah, and this would have been a really hard movie to do, because you have, like, blind Hawkeye, you have the Hulk brothers showing up at one point.
Inbred Hulk brothers.
Oh, fun.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's, but, I mean, so I think, Old Man Logan is a great graphic novel. It was a cool story, but I don't want that as a movie. Like, so like everybody was all like, you know, chanting Old Man Logan, Old Man Logan, and I'm like, no, I don't need that, because that story is bug nuts crazy, and I think it'd just be too bonkers for, you know, a movie. And I much prefer what we got. Logan is a fantastic movie. I really enjoyed it.
And something I've been trying to, like, I've been having to tell myself a lot is this is a send-off after 17 years. And I keep thinking about what I was doing 17 years ago.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because, I mean, I guess one thing I also want to put on Front Street is that this is a movie for adults.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is not so much the language and the violence and all that. I mean, very obviously, that's the case as well. But I mean also in theme. So, like, Deadpool was a movie for adults, but more like for 13-year-olds, you know, teenagers. This one, it's like between like its pacing and its character beats and just the way that it is, it's a more mature movie.
Than, just down to the way it was shot, even like all the camera work and everything, have a little bit of shaky cam.
Yeah,
and topically speaking, how many like younger viewers or, you know, audience could understand the whole everything that Logan was really going through with, like, these are like real life topics now we're dealing with.
Absolutely.
Something he hasn't dealt with before.
Well, and one thing that I think that's interesting on that, to continue that theme, is that this movie is, you know, like, on one hand, it's for me. So, like, I'm like an older fan. I've been a fan of this character for a long time. But I think more importantly than that, this movie is for you guys. Meaning, like, so, like for example, how old were you guys when X-Men 2000 came out? I would imagine pretty young, right? Yeah.
10 or 11?
Yeah, I'm 38 like now. I'm pretty old, so.
So that's what I mean. It's like, basically, you guys have grown up with Hugh Jackman's version of this character. And so you've aged along with the character, and now that you guys are all adults, you can appreciate the, like you guys were saying, just, you know, everything that Logan's gone through, this entire life that he's lived, in a way that you wouldn't if, say, you were 13.
And they did bring up a lot, like, they made hints and references to a lot of that older stuff, too.
Definitely.
He had the adamantium bullet.
Ellis Island.
Yeah.
A couple times, which is cool.
Even down to, I spotted a Wolverine action figure, except it was like the blue and yellow with the black stripes. So a lot of really, really good callbacks.
Speaking of callbacks, did you see the samurai sword in there?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, so
from when he went to Japan, and I thought they wanted to get away from that movie.
Right, and I wanted to.
Well, and let's kind of park there for a hot second. Where does this movie fit in the continuity? Because I don't even know if I understand X-Men movie continuity anymore.
Yeah, I was under the impression that it was, so in Days of Future Past, when at the very end, when he comes back, and he's walking around the school, sees Scott and Jean and whatever.
Yeah.
And he's talking to Xavier. Xavier's like, you know, we have much to talk about, blah, 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 blah. And it ends. I thought it was in that new universe that they created at that moment.
I'm inclined to agree. So we're saying that this is the future of the X-Men Days of Future Past fixed reality, right?
Yep. So you don't have all the Sentinels and stuff running around. Instead, you have just military dudes with metal hands.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically they fix the future and then it still goes bad for them later on.
goes to shit anyway.
Ah, man, Star Trek knows all about that.
Yeah, no shit. Dude, you're not wrong. But yeah, because I was trying to figure that out, especially like with those callbacks in there, like when Xavier says like, oh, the, you know, Statue of, I'm sorry, he talks about the Statue of Liberty, and Logan says, you know, Statue of Liberty was a long time ago.
Yeah, he said that like, they said the thing!
Yeah. And even when he goes to the hotel where he meets the mom and then ultimately Laura, I'm like, oh, Statue of Liberty, I see what you're doing there. That's great.
They just need a lightning storm now, please.
But I do kind of like how in the X-Men franchise, they do kind of try to have their cake and eat it too. In like it's, I almost think like it counts until it doesn't. Kind of almost kind of like the DC New 52, what they tried to do there. It's like, ah, it counts until it doesn't. And turns out everything didn't, so whatever, but...
Multiverse is a thing. It's
right.
It's something you can't just jam into a movie. Like, if you start a movie with, this happens in the multiverse, you have to explain what a multiverse is,
right.
And that's its own movie, and you almost need, like, Stephen Hawking or even Bill Nye. I'd watch Bill Nye explain what a multiverse is. I'd watch that movie.
Because you do it physically. He has some props or something.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, it's like, you know, how Doc Brown does in Back to the Future Part 2. It's like, and this is when the timeline skewed into this tangent, creating an alternate 1985 with an alternate you and an alternate me. And
you just started the X-Men movie off with that scene.
Yeah, there you go.
And I love these, like, excuse the crudeness of this model.
Yeah,
I always love when he says
not,
that.
Not quite
the
scale.
The most beautiful damn model.
Oh man, but and with the snarled continuity of the X-Men movies, I think really it's the Wolverine that messes things up, because like that one, it takes place after The Last Stand, but not before Days of Future Past, but it kind of does anyway. I mean, it's like, that's the one movie out of all of them. I mean, you know, obviously Last Stand is terrible. Obviously X-Men Origins Wolverine is probably one of the worst movies ever, but continuity-wise, they still kind of work okay. It's that fucking The Wolverine movie with his, you know, samurai bullet train and stuff. That's the one that really makes the continuity fall apart, I think.
What? I always thought... But it is, like, the Wolverine is after Last Stand, because he's dreaming about Jean and how he killed her and
what's weird
all
is
that crap. And then it was at the end of Wolverine when Xavier and Magneto come to the airport and it's like, we need your help, and that leads into Days of Future Past.
Right, except that he's got bone claws. And that's like the one thing they never reconcile.
They never explained. Yeah, it's always bothered me.
I
hate the end of the Wolverine.
So
he just picked up a brush and dipped in the end, recoded.
There you go. I mean, I've heard fan theories talking about like Magneto helped him out and kind of stretched the adamantium or whatever the fuck. But I mean, for me at least, I always reconcile Days of Future Past in that it's not the future of the Bryan Singer X-Men movies, it's the future of the First Class universe. So they just happen to look like Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart and all that. It's, I mean, that always made sense to me. So, like, I don't know. I'm getting way lost in the weeds on continuity. Like we're doing a comic.
You made me a believer. Like, you just saying it that way makes me a believer.
Well, why couldn't it have been both? Because I think when they did First Class at the time, I think they kind of wanted that, like, oh, this is Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, like, this is them in the 60s.
It wasn't even really a reboot. It was a prequel situation.
It was like
a prequel that they kind of later turned into a reboot. And I'm like, whatever. But anyway, we're getting way lost in the weeds. Let's talk about Logan. So so obviously we talked about, you know, this is very much Hugh Jackman's last turn as Wolverine. And just jumping right to the end, how do we all feel about the end? I mean, because he dead. He extra dead.
I get chills. I mean, it's closure, man. It's real closure. Yeah. And, you know, even in the end when the twisting of the cross into an X symbol.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This was good about this movie. If you had seen that in a script, if someone said, oh, you're going to turn the cross over into an X-Men, I'd be like, come on, you can do better than that. But, like, this movie is so, the tone was set so well and the acting was done so well. Dude, I had a lump in my throat. Like, it brought such closure to closure, period, to the whole X-Men storyline.
I'll have to pull up the name of the actress because interneting is hard, but she killed in that movie.
I have it right here.
Daphne Keene.
She killed that role. I don't think they could have picked anybody better.
I
she looks like X-23 even in her regular profile picture on IMDb.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I'm looking right at it. And yeah, with the blue top and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that looks that just like her. It's eerie. It's eerie. Now, to tangent a little bit, so recently I was at the Emerald City Comic Con here in Seattle, and I hung around with a lot of cosplayers. There's a guy, his name is Julian, I think. He's at That One Cosplayer Guy on Instagram or something. Just look at some of my posts from Comic Con and you'll see him. Anyway, he's a local cosplayer here that's been doing Wolverine for a long time, and we talked about kind of aging with the character. So he's Old Man Logan now, whereas before he was kind of the more kind of X-Men Origins Wolverine type style. Anyway, he has a daughter that's about like 8 or 9, and they came to Emerald City this year as Old Man Logan and Laura, and she has like the glasses and the claws, and it's one of the most spectacular cosplays I've ever seen. So yeah, stalk me on my Instagram and you'll see a couple pictures of me with them. And yeah, just looking at this picture here, it's truly uncanny how this little actress just embodies that character.
And they pulled off the father-daughter connection so well that it was actually believable. There are a lot of movies where you watch them, it's just like, wow, you guys are clearly acting this out. But I felt something when every time she held his hand.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
and it's amazing because I always talk about character development, and here you have a girl that acts her ass off to the point where there is no dialogue, and it's the best developed character you've seen on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that too a lot. How she didn't say anything until 60%, 65% through the movie.
Yeah,
and she was talking Spanish for a little bit there, and out of nowhere she starts speaking English, and then, like, even then she still doesn't talk a lot, but her character says so much, and I love that.
And really, you could almost argue that was kind of how Hugh Jackman behaved in that first X-Men movie.
Yeah, he doesn't say anything for a while.
A whole lot. One of my favorite scenes in the first X-Men movie is like him and Rogue are on the bus, and she's like, you know, does it hurt when they come out? And he's like, in the most comic book line delivery, he's like, every time. I mean, I just love that. And so he was very minimalist in that original performance before his character basically took over all them movies. But she kind of brings that same energy. So, like, we heard in the trailer earlier where Charles is saying, you know, she's very much like you. It's you buy it. You believe it.
Well, when she started, like, rambling off in Spanish, I started laughing my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, both between just...
He's getting all pissed off.
He's pounding her with, like, fuck, what the fuck? Stop saying this language. Speak English. Like, it's just hilarious. I was dying.
Well, he was saying what the crowd was thinking. Just, you could talk this entire time.
Yeah, right.
And then when she was talking in Spanish, I was laughing because, like, I wasn't expecting that.
Right.
They did a really good job around every turn catching me off guard when... They weren't shy about making it known that Logan was going down at the end of this movie. From the beginning, you could tell he was pretty beat up.
Yeah.
That's something, too. Like, I was telling Tim, I'm not 100% clear on why he was so beat up. Because this movie's 2029, and this is kind of back to this whole continuity timeline kind of thing. And if, like, I don't remember when Days of Future Past was exactly, but if it was, I don't know, it wasn't too far off, maybe 8, 9 years off from 2029. Yeah. I just didn't understand, like, where'd this come from? Like, where all of a sudden can he not heal anymore?
That's an interesting one.
It was tough. I didn't understand. I feel like they didn't explain. All they said was, this is all I call it at least, was the animanium was, like, kind of hurting his body.
Couple theories on that one. First one is, you go back to the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie where he does get shot in the head. So maybe he's got a little brain damage going on.
He gets shot
a little bit. Or you also have... In the first X-Men movie where Rogue does drain him, and they do say, hey, you lost a little bit of your healing factor.
See, I mean, those are solid fan theories, but I think it's even more simple than that. He's getting older. I mean, he's like 130 years old. Because, like, I think in Origins, they established that it's like in like the mid-1800s or something like that.
I didn't be older than that.
Well, and then you cross the goal, and then you can just keep compiling all this.
Yeah.
It could be like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man thing where if your mind's not in it, how much is your body affected by your brain? I mean, after everything Xavier's done,
yeah,
has he just fallen apart so fully mentally that his body's just going to follow the path of what his mind's doing.
Yeah, see, I think his body just wore out, and his healing factor just wore out, and that's a concept that comes up in the comics occasionally, is that his healing factor is the only thing that's keeping the adamantium from poisoning his blood. So that's why when, like, Caliban says he's sick and he can smell it on him and all that, it's like he smells that, you know, he's sick, like he's got, like, adamantium skeleton poisoning. Like, dude's got metal in his bones.
He wasn't made like that either. He was supposed to be just bones.
Yeah, and so he's got the claws. I mean, he's got bone claws, but yeah, I think it's the healing factor has been working for, you know, so many hundreds of years or whatever that, yeah, it just wears out. And throughout all of his adventures, you know, he's getting shot and stabbed, and that healing factor just, yeah, I mean, that's me. I just think keeping within the theme of age and all of that, I think he just got old and it just wore out, and he just got a blood poisoning from the adamantium.
And he does go from, like, giving the middle claw in the early movies to, like, barely being able to pull one out.
When he has to pull it out himself, like, I'm thinking, man, I was so worried about this movie about how I was going to feel about him declining. Yeah. And they did it so well, man. Watching him pull his claw out like that was, like...
But it was such a pit. Since the whole movie, he's declining. When he takes that, you know, pretty much pre-workout, and he just rages up and kills all those guys in the woods. I mean, it's such a payoff. Yeah. You're like, you know, you've been sitting there at this point for an hour and a half, and you're like, oh, here we go. He's about to freaking freak out. I'm in. It was a great scene. I love that scene.
Yeah, you know, here's another thing that's cool. You're talking about Rogue in the first series, and I'm just jumping back. But when she was – when they were in his piece of shit truck, and he's warming her hands by the heat and giving her beef jerky.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I think it was like some kind of beef jerky.
Yeah,
I thought
it was candy.
Maybe it's candy.
Wait, that's not very important.
But I think it's important. But anyways, when he's talking to her, you can see her facial expression. I was thinking about this when I was watching the movie. Her facial expression is like, what the hell is your story, dude? Like, holy shit. This is crazy. We're this girl now. Well, now you have her in this movie, and she's just looking at you like, she's just like, it's like she's seen it before. Like, I completely get you. Like, he's just raging and she's just staring at him like, all right, yeah, whatever. Like, I think it's hilarious. I think it draws a parallel.
Yeah, it's almost flipped. You know, because it's like, you've seen some shit.
We've done this before.
Yeah.
They almost do the Rogue One thing. Or not Rogue One. They almost do the Force Awakens thing where it's just like, we've seen this movie before.
Oh, kind of echoes.
Yeah, but...
Interesting.
It takes me outside the movie to really see that. Like, again, I've been removed from the movie theater from about an hour now, and I'm just now picking that up. So, initially, when I was watching it, I was getting a lot of, like, Race to Witch Mountain vibes.
Okay.
Everybody, take the family, hop in the car, go to the place.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And
so how do you feel? Like, you just saw the movie, you said 20 minutes ago or whatever it was, like, because we saw it however long ago. How does someone, you just saw it, like, how do you feel? Like, what's the first thought that came to your mind when you walked out those doors?
The ending hit harder than I thought it would, despite knowing it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
They did the best job possible with that. The only time I can think of that I was duped this hard, not even duped this hard, like the ending hit me this hard, was end of Winter Soldier when you find out Hydra's behind everything.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Like,
yeah, Sam would agree.
I tried to keep myself out of spoiler zone on that one as much as possible, even to the point where I had an inkling on who the Winter Soldier might be, but Bucky was still a relative surprise, like him coming back in that role.
Wait, hold on. You didn't know Bucky was Winter Soldier?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like, let's get some tire screeching going on here.
Yeah. That's like saying, like, right. You didn't know Tony Stark was Iron Man in Iron Man 1. That's how I feel.
My favorite part of Winter Soldier was the handing over when she hands him the file and says, you don't want to pull on that string, basically.
Right.
Black Widow.
Oh,
the very end is great. I always forget when I watch that movie that's part of that. And that leads
But that's Tim's favorite movie. That's why I want to know. Tim's favorite Marvel movie is Winter Soldier.
I'm sorry I don't celebrate like everybody else. Now I'm just going to go like a Danica. I'm hiding in the shadows. I go.
There you go.
But that whole like Hydra coming out and being like, we're behind everything. I haven't been hit that hard until now, where you see Logan go down and just like, oh, okay, that or maybe Rogue One.
Okay, Where they all die?
End of the movie.
Spoiler alert, by the way, for a different movie.
End of Rogue One, Thursday's sitting in the chair next to me like, all my precious cinnamon rolls are dead.
Yeah, every single one of them. And not just the women.
One at a time, I love it.
Not just the men, but the women and the children, too.
And you get that with this movie, too. It's not just Logan's last ride. You get Professor Xavier going down. You get... what's his fate?
Poor Eric LaSalle. What are you talking about?
You get Caliban.
Super, yeah, okay,
you get super albino man.
Yeah. So I guess let's loop back around then and talk about some of these characters. What did you guys think of Patrick Stewart's last turn as Professor X? Because this is a different Xavier than we've seen before.
This is the Patrick Stewart I've been waiting for.
Yes.
You hear him on Family Guy. You hear him on. You hear him on was an American Dad. You hear him doing all these really, really adult-themed episodes and stuff like that. And you're just like, where's this guy in the movies? And then it finally comes out that you got an old dude who's fed up with Logan shit.
He finally
got sick of like freezing people in museums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he does that in literally every movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love how they sold it right away in that one. He's kind of got the dementia and the drug induced stuff, so that was kind of played for uncomfortable laughs, because like I was kind of fidgety. I'm like, oh, because you know, we talked about, you know, Logan being in decline and how that would kind of tug on your heartstrings. Seeing a dementia rattled Xavier, that kind of got to me a little bit, but then it snapped me back when he's like, oh, fuck off, Logan.
Dude, I want a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
He starts doing that Taco Bell. I'm like, that sounds good.
Yeah, I love. Matt brought up the thing. Matt brought this up a couple weeks ago. Did they celebrate Xavier swearing too much?
Oh, you mean
did he swear too much? I don't think so.
Because they could do it, they did it. Like every time he talked,
I loved it.
There is a little bit of that. I see where you guys are saying, but it's. I mean, you could throw that in the same bin with Hugh Jackman swearing too much, or even throw that in the same drawer as some of the violence. Because after a while, like the mid part of the movie, it's like, okay, cool, we're chopping people's arms off. I got maybe a little desensitized to it.
One reason I brought it up to Tim at the time was because. With Wolverine, I expect him to swear. If he's eating French fries, I expect him to swear. I mean, even in First Class, when they approach him at the bar, he's like, "Go fuck yourself."
Yeah,
you know, that's PG-13. I expect it, Wolverine.
Okay.
Patrick Stewart, like Xavier, I always look at him as just like this cool guy. You know, not too violent, even though he can kill you with a thought and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But I like that when he had like all this dementia and all that stuff was going on in the beginning, he was swearing. And I was totally fine with it. Once he got normal, I was like, "Wow!" Like he just really keeps swearing. Like every line. Like, so I'm like, oh, maybe they celebrated because it was R. Either way, it was
interesting.
Hilarious. I mean, it was super entertaining.
But Logan's not a student anymore, and they made that really obvious. Like,
oh yeah.
Patrick Stewart the entire time is just like, you are a really shitty student. You were just awful.
See, and I love that.
Because
he was.
Xavier.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they could have just called this Grumpy Old Men Part 3, because basically that's what the two of them are doing. They're just like
Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, they wandered into the superhero movie as like, you know, two grumpy roommates or something.
Marvel's No Country for Old Men.
But yeah, I mean, Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No. Go on.
I forgot what I was going to say. No, I think I was just still dwelling on Patrick Stewart. I mean, it's like I didn't realize that he was going to get crossed off. I thought I had heard somewhere that, I mean, for me, it was no surprise that Logan was going to die. Not because it was spoiled, but because it was so telegraphed. Meaning like, oh, this is, you know, I mean, because I remember like, 2 years before the movie came out, there, like, I think it was either on his Twitter or Instagram, you know, Logan put out like the, like he was like holding the claws and it's like hashtag one last time. I mean, that was a thing going around for quite some time. So we knew that this was going to be Hugh Jackman's swan song with the character. I didn't know he was going to get crossed off, but I kind of had the same feeling. But again, I didn't know that this was going to be the last of Patrick Stewart as Xavier.
That teared me up, too. Like, I think between the two deaths, that one got me the most.
See, they got me. They both got me, but they got me different. So, like, after Xavier dies and they have the funeral burial thing, and Logan doesn't know what to do. He's just like, he's so overwhelmed. He's like, it's got water. It's got water. I got a massive lump in my throat, and I was just like, oh, it's got water. And it's just, you know, he was just so emotionally ill-equipped to deal with his grief. He didn't know what to do. But with when Logan died, I had the I had a different feeling. It was almost like Toy Story 3, where like my eyes welled up a little bit, but it wasn't out of sadness. And it was when you guys mentioned it earlier, where she took the cross and made it an X, and I just remember I almost started chuckling. You know, my eyes were welled up. I was chuckling, and I was pointing at the screen like, I see what you did there. I didn't know you were going to do that, but oh my God. It's like, excuse me a sec. I need to go over here.
I saw the cross coming.
I saw it coming too.
Wow.
The part that got me to do it. Like when she stopped walking, I was like, here it comes. She's turning around and flipping it.
Oh, good on you guys. I didn't see it coming.
Well, I don't know, because at first I'm looking, I'm like, don't do that. That's cheating. And I'm like, oh, you're doing it. I'm like, oh, man.
You know,
yeah,
back see, it's- to Xavier, though, really quick. Yeah. Talk about when they buried him. Well, mm-hmm. I know this is one of Tim's favorite scenes, is when he beats the hell out of his truck.
Oh, yes!
Dude,
yeah.
I mean, oh, my God. I was so happy. Watching him, because we see Wolverine freak out on just about everything at this point. And just about the fact that he freaks out on a truck.
Yeah.
Going, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my it was great. God, it was the best shit ever. I loved it.
Oh, dude. And then, again, just good storytelling. The rage he got after the Xavier and then taking X-24. Mm. That rage scene, mm-hmm. right? That's where he got enraged and, like, finally, like, confronted X-24.
Yeah.
House farm. Whatever.
Just, it's funny because you just think at this point, can you really get excited anymore just watching Hugh Jackman go crazy? Yes, you can.
Yes. Yes, you can.
No one will ever do it better. They shouldn't do it better. I just want to see X-23.
Now,
go.
This can't be Xavier's last movie for me because of all the stuff he said while he was going down. Like, when he was laying in that bed in front of X-24, he was just like, this is my perfect day. This is the best day I've had in a while, but I remember the stuff I did. I was like, what did you do?
Well,
yeah, I know. Right?
Okay, so
that's what I was like telling Tim, because the movie for me, we've loved it. I mean, it's a damn near perfect movie.
Yeah.
I told Tim I just wanted a little bit more. I wanted to know what Xavier did, and they hinted at it a couple times. Obviously,
they said
spoilers,
something about
he killed the X-Men.
Yeah, see, okay, so have you guys read the Old Man Logan graphic novel?
I'm aware of
any.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, so mild spoilers. Again, check it out. It's not this movie. It's, you know, it's something else entirely. But basically what happens is that Wolverine gets mind controlled by, I want to say, like Mysterio or something like that, and he ends up murdering the X-Men. And it's shown in like a flashback, like halfway through, you know, it's like, why is Logan so grumpy and all that other stuff? And I think what they did was they took that beat from the graphic novel and gave it to Xavier. I think what they explained this at some point, I think it's like after they give him the syringe in Vegas or something like that. But basically, like, with Xavier having like all of these seizures and attacks, the first one basically wiped out like that whole area of New York, including all of the X-Men. So Xavier had like one of these, again, seizure things and killed everybody.
And that's why it's classified as like a weapon of mass destruction and all that junk.
Exactly. So
he didn't actually kill anybody in this movie, but you saw people definitely struggling real hard.
Well, and then they made a nod to it with the radio station when they were driving the truck, right? They made a comment.
They were like, yeah, a year ago today, and all these people died, including the X off. Like, he turns it off. And then you don't hear him say men, but...
Yeah, right, you know, yeah.
Yeah, you get the idea.
Which was well done, too. Instead of making a whole backstory or trying to come up with what happened.
Right, and I get why they didn't want to do it. I think I saw the director say, like, he didn't want to focus on, like, stories that made these characters. He wanted the characters to make the stories, and... I get that. That's cool. I mean, I just wanted to hear them two talk about it for like 2 minutes.
Because the real secret is when we get to Infinity Wars, we find that Thanos does a tour, like a tour de time, and you see it all unveiled
Right. He's I'm gonna take out that Jean Grey. Oh, thanks, Xavier.
I would literally just pee myself right there for the fun of it.
Like, I would definitely, yeah.
Just to give my approval, like to mark my territory.
A hot turd in the corner. That's for sure.
Too funny. Yeah, you know, I it would be interesting to see once Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet fully assembled, if they do some weird cross-universal stuff. I could almost see him just like, you know, I'm in my imagination, am I picturing like, you know how Blink superpowers worked in Days of Future Past? You see like the portals on the other side? I could almost see like Thanos just staring at like this open portal worth of multiverse, and you just roll some stock footage from other movies and other universes and stuff like that. That'd be pretty dope.
You just painted like a Ben and Jerry's like scene. Like I can just go, that's beautiful.
That was the saddest death for me in Days of Future Past was Blink.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, like, no, first time on the screen, she doesn't say much. I think it was just her effort. She was trying so hard, and she just gets triple stabbed, and she's done.
Yeah. Well, one of the best representations of a comic book power, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they make her power look cooler on the screen than it does in the comics, so... I thought that was really, really cool. So
just like Apocalypse.
Yeah. I love gold.
He might as well have said
Apocalypse
that.
Is secretly gold member.
Trying to say that.
Now, I want to know what everybody's least favorite part about this movie is, because I have mine. Like, there was definitely a part of this movie where I just sat there. I'm like, okay.
Okay, do me last, because I keep dominating the conversation. Let's have our guests have a turn.
I want Tim to go first because I need to think about mine.
It's hard. Okay. I tell you the adamantium poisoning probably was my bigger thing.
Interesting.
But like I said, here's the thing. I always grade these movies against myself. Like as an editor, you're looking at a person that I purposely edited a Star Wars Episode II, and I fixed it so I can watch the movie. I edited out everything with Anakin and Panda Bear.
Wow.
Padme. I got rid of all that crap. And it's actually a decent movie when you... So when I watch these movies, I think, could I do better? Could I cut stuff out? And it's like, I couldn't do much better with it.
Fascinating.
But the adamantium poisoning, I was kind of like, yeah, do I understand completely or... And that didn't bother me enough to ruin my day.
I got mine. I think so. Well, I already mentioned the one. I just wanted a little more detail about how Xavier killed the X-Men.
Okay.
But besides that, it was very short. I just thought it was extremely unnecessary. Again, it was one of those things. It was when that girl showed her tits to Wolverine.
The on-camera flash. Yeah, in the back of the limo.
I get it. It's like, yeah, it's cool to see. It's boobs. I get it. But it's like... I don't know. It was out of no. I wasn't expecting it. I was like out of nowhere. I'm like, oh, she just showed Wolverine's boobs.
Boobtuitous.
I mean, I was like, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Back to the movie. Yeah,
interesting.
My least favorite was, honestly, I wasn't a fan of how it started.
Okay.
So specifically, like, if I were to give it a starting point, it's around the time where it was after you find the nurse lady, like she's shot in the back of the head. It's that time between her getting shot in the back of the head and them leaving. Like Mexico or wherever they were.
Interesting. So it started a little slow for you, is what you're saying, maybe?
It was almost too fast.
Oh.
Man,
Because the movie slows way the hell down after that initial, we know you have the girl, and Logan's just like, shit, we gotta get out of here, guys. Everybody hop in the family truck and let's get going.
He's a pretty good driver.
Grandpa. His space limo.
I never thought a Chrysler 5000.
Yeah, I love that.
Could run an armored fence.
But there was a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And then you finally get the chance to take a breather and finally get your bearings. So you knew Logan wasn't in good shape after that first fight where like he was trying to stop the guy stealing his tires.
Right.
But it wasn't until you get to Vegas where you finally see him starting to do some coughing and stuff too.
Right.
And you know that Xavier's loopy. Mm-hmm. But you really don't get a sense of how much of him is still there until he like starts mind controlling horses.
Yeah,
you know. Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
The one thing I'm okay with this now. I like this now. At first, though, like the first right when it happened. So when Xavier dies, and I thought he was dreaming. And he wasn't, clearly.
Oh. Yeah, I agree with you. Like, especially when you see, like, the son and the wife, and I'm just like, oh, this is just, like, a horrible nightmare sequence.
I mean, that was, like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
Like, you just took out the family. Like, screw them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was super confused. I didn't think they'd kill that, like, 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Because when you see Xavier get stabbed, and then he comes in with a baseball bat and like hits him in the face. I'm like, this has got to be like a dream sequence. It has to be. And then it's like, it's not. Everyone's just getting slaughtered. Like, and I wasn't sure how I felt about a clone of Wolverine killing Xavier.
Yeah.
Until obviously I had some time after the movie to think about it. But then also when I hear Logan say he's carrying Xavier and he's like, it wasn't me, Charles. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
There was something about that moment. Like he had to tell him, like,
well, yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah. But that's still even going through his head.
Yeah.
Like, Charles Xavier could think I just snapped and try to kill him.
That's
like,
why I love it. It's so
but
brutal.
But it was like so just touching to me that he had to tell Charles, I did not kill you. Please know this before you die. I loved it.
I do. Mean, it's
and
beautiful.
That put it all together for me, for sure.
Now, is anybody else bugged that he didn't wear the suit?
No.
No?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Can you imagine?
There wasn't an inkling of you that wanted to see any sort of suit, whether it's like a callback to like his old just mono black X-Men suit or even like the toss on the yellow spandex?
No, God, no. That would have been so dumb. In fact, what I liked was like he spends the majority of the movie with like the full beard. And then one of my favorite little tiny scenes was like when the kids trim off his the front of his beard to give him the chops back. Because like I didn't realize I missed that look until he got it back. I'm like, okay, now he's Wolverine.
They did the thing.
Yeah, you know, he's running around in the tank top and he's got the chops. It's like, okay, let's do this one last time.
They did the leap? They did the leap?
It's so good.
Then they both did the leap of like they're doing the thing.
Yeah, and she's all rolling off his back and all that.
Rips
stuff.
His head off. That's all I was thinking. I was
so great.
The yeah. Oh yeah, I love that scene. That whole wood scene. I loved
it. Yeah, it was spectacular.
It was one of the most quiet theaters I was in when I saw a movie. It was actually really quiet, like the most respected theater audience I've ever been in.
Interesting.
Did you guys like that? Well, I can't think of the guy's name. Mm. The mad scientist guy. That it was.
It was
Stryker's
son. That threw me through a loop because I was like, that kid is not in a wheelchair and his eyes are the same color.
There's more continuity right there.
See, yeah, but that's where you get like this whole Swiss cheese continuity thing and things start falling apart. It's so confusing.
I chalked it up to Stryker had another kid.
Sure.
Yeah. Said
there you go.
Sons.
I hear that people can have more than one. I hear that that's a thing. But I did that callback to where he's like, you know, Logan is just super surly about it. Yeah, I killed him. He's like, yeah, you totally did.
You kill a lot of people. That's the thing you do.
Yeah, very good.
From right out of the gate, when you saw the trailer for this film, where does it rank in your comic book films as far as what you were expecting from the trailer?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I can tell you that aside from Guardians of the Galaxy,
you're going based off.
I'm going from trailers. Guardians of the Galaxy is one of the few movies that from Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and this movie are the best movies from trailer to being there, and it didn't disappoint me at all.
See, my expectations from the Logan trailers were moderate. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah,
I was pumped.
Then I saw the movie. And I needed to see it again and again. It's the best X-Men movie I've ever seen.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, for me at least, I think my expectations were met and kind of properly in sync with what I saw in the trailer, because what I was expecting based upon the trailer was a smaller movie. A maybe slower paced movie and an adult movie, and not in the tits and fucking kind, but in theme.
They're like becoming a dad's a very adult theme.
Yeah, I was expecting Unforgiven with Wolverine, and that's what I got. And with the Johnny Cash playing over the trailer, it sold me the movie that it is, and I got what I want out of it. So
it's sad that if this movie, if it hadn't been a comic book movie, it's one of those times where there'd be a lot of awards in this film if it wasn't a comic book movie.
I hope next year it's some kind of Oscar.
They didn't even involve that many powers. You didn't, like, you saw the claws, you saw some mind stuff going on with Xavier, and you saw a little bit of tracking stuff, but by that you just see the dude sniffing random stuff. And that's his power.
Yeah, but I mean, I want to say the most visual representation of a superpower was Xavier seizures. And I liked that it was a twist on something that we have seen in all of these movies. You know, he's always freezing people in museums. And it took me a while to be like, oh, this is the same thing. Everybody's frozen. It wasn't until Wolverine started killing people while they were frozen, which I love that scene.
That
like
great.
Claws coming out like of that dude's slow, face and stuff. Just snick right to the side of the head.
He's crawling the side of the wall with his claws to get there. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Like, I mean, my heart's pounding my throat.
Just felt
I'm
like,
so excited.
Like when Marv's about to step on the nail and Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
You know it's coming. It's like, it's coming. It's in. Oh, you're hurt.
Well, it's almost like the Quicksilver scenes that they've done where he's just running super fast and he knocks all of those guys out in that cafeteria when they're trying to break out Magneto.
Oh, you mean the good Quicksilver. Okay.
Yeah.
God, very good. Thank you. Thank you for saying that so
Quicksilver
much.
Quicksilver could run through Xavier's.
The one that's a person and not a shield. Yeah.
Yeah, right, man.
Oh, man.
I don't like Quicksilver's that, like, get out of breath and, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm glad you died. Well, good for you to die.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, Captain America may have a shield that's made out of vibranium, but Hawkeye's got a shield that's made out of Quicksilver, so he's got the better shield. So.
I like that play of double metals there.
Right. I like that.
The Quicksilver. I like that, man.
God, I hate that movie.
It was so bad.
I fucking hate that movie so hard.
Oh, God.
All right, so... let's loop back around a little bit. So we talked about kind of our least favorite parts, and something I'm surprised, honestly, we haven't touched on yet, and it's actually my least favorite part of the movie, and get out your pitchforks, because we're getting controversial here. The Deadpool teaser.
You know, you're not the first person I've heard say that.
Well, and here's why. I liked it on its own as its own thing. The thing that I didn't like about it is, you know, I'm sitting in the theater. You know, you watch Maria Menounos for 20 minutes, and then you hear you got like, you know, the a cappella singing kids spilling popcorn over each other and quit trying to make green coke happen. It's not going to happen. So I'm ready to watch this movie, and I've sit through like 25 minutes of movies that I'm not going to watch, and then it fades. And it's like, you know, I don't remember if it goes 20th Century Fox Presents or something, but it was something where like all of that stuff ended and I'm in the, my mind is ready, my body is ready, I'm ready to watch Logan. And then it becomes this Deadpool thing.
Because they started off with the red band thing. Like they have the red screen that says this trailer is being aired, like, due to its graphic content specifically for this movie.
Oh, see, I may have missed the red band. See, I think... You know what? If that's the case, then maybe I have to throttle it back, because what I thought Logan was starting, and remember, there were rumors that Ryan Reynolds was going to cameo as Deadpool in Logan. You guys remember
those
rumors?
I'm right there with you, though. I was fooled, too.
So,
I thought Logan was starting.
Yes,
yeah,
I did.
So I see him pull his hoodie back. I'm thinking this is Wade Wilson in the Logan time, and then we get to this amounts to a really spectacular teaser trailer, but I'm like, what the fuck is this pressed ham doing in my Logan movie? It really threw me out of it, and then it took me a good couple minutes to kind of throttle back when it's like, okay, now my body is ready and my mind is ready to watch Logan. You know, it was really weird.
It did sort of
talk about
a
continuity cock block.
Yeah, no shit. Ugh.
I mean, when I was thinking the same thing when I'm watching this, I'm like, there's no fucking way to write this to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're never going to have a Hugh Jackman Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds Deadpool movie.
Yeah, you just can't.
Not even like 2 seconds of something. I just want it so bad. I'm thinking,
well, they gave you your 2 seconds a couple movies ago.
You made the segue for me, though. Like,
yeah.
So now when you get to the end of this movie, and here's the thing, I don't care. I don't know a lot about, and I don't care much about the other kids with her at the end of this movie.
Okay.
So I kept thinking to myself, I really don't care, but like, I want to see her again. And that would be my next thing. Segue to old Deadpool in another movie with her. And the dynamics are completely twisted now. He's like, yeah, go steal more of that shit.
Yeah.
He's like, look at you.
Paying for stuff is for chumps.
Stab him in the heart.
I mean, it's the next movie I want to see. Yeah. Old.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of continuity and Deadpool, where's Deadpool in all this? Like, when does that movie take place? Because I have no clue.
Does it? Does it,
it doesn't take place?
Because they do mention, like, they do include the mansion.
Yeah.
You do have two of the X-Men. You have
Colossus
a Colossus.
Has the X, you know, the X on his chest and stuff. And the,
yeah. These are things
I
that happen.
Somewhere in there.
And we are getting a Cable, which is another thing. No Cable in the future, but he comes back from the future.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, I like how you put it, Corey, where it's like, does it exist? Because it's like you have a completely different Colossus. You have, I think it's a multiverse thing. Because even with the fourth wall breaking, it's like McAvoy or Stewart, which professor are we dealing with here? I don't think it has to fit. And I think I almost prefer that it doesn't fit. What do you guys think?
It is its own thing. I'd like to see more X-Men involvement. Like, I'd like to see even some of the random little ones. Like, if I saw a Nightcrawler cameo, that'd be great. Even just, like, him popping in and out somewhere.
Well,
or if they did just minor characters, because there are so many different X-Men.
Well, and you know X-Force is coming. So
yeah, X-Force is coming. And what's we're getting Domino and, like I said, Cable.
Right.
That's pretty cool. That's really good. I'm excited for X-Force to kind of see where that kind of leads with the X-Men or maybe the new X-Men or who knows.
Well, I'm one of those odd little children that when I watch these kind of movies, once you break the whole timeline thing in any way, I'm okay. I'm almost okay with everything. I'm weird that way. Like I said, that's the Star Trek universe for me. Like once you can almost get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, not like what I'm hearing, not to get off topic, but not what I'm hearing about like Thor now.
Okay.
Like, because, I mean, that kills me when you just say, like, hey, those other movies never happened. And
I don't even want to talk about that since.
Yeah, you do.
It crushes my soul.
It's a segue for tomorrow morning.
Oh, there you go. Boy.
Oh, don't listen to him, man. I can't even conjure breath to talk about that. All right.
But, yeah, that's another thing I saw pop up was a lot of people asking, who's going to be the next Wolverine? And I'm saying don't.
No.
Well, I think yeah, I 100% agree with you guys. Let the character rest. Let him just stay on the shelf. Let him stay in the ground with his little X cross makes adult men cry grave. And, you know, I think you almost follow the comic book model in that, like, so I don't know if you guys know this or not, but, like, you know, Logan, as we know him, is also dead in the current comics. X-23, Laura Kinney, is Wolverine. She's running around in a blue and yellow spandex outfit with like the mask and everything. She's Wolverine.
And she's lending it to so many. It's funny, I haven't picked them up, but the covers are all awesome on those comics.
Yes, the inclusion of the comics.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
The fact that they even did that was amazing. Because the only other time I can think anybody's done that was like Heroes, back when like Hero was reading his own story.
Oh sure, yeah.
But this was all past stuff, and when Logan picked up that comic, he's like, "This is all complete crap." Half the stuff happened in these comics, and even the stuff that did happen didn't happen like it is.
It was one of the best. Yeah, it was. God, it was
when
awesome
he said that, and he's calling out the comics as crap, I'm like, wow, they did it.
He's all like, my childhood. See, and it was so funny. I lost this thread earlier when we were talking about, you know, perhaps needing more exposition in this movie. I wanted to make this joke, but like, you know, exposition is just like those comic books. Warm milk for bedwetters. I fucking loved that line.
That's beautiful.
Because that's what he was talking about with the comic books. So he's like, like you said, you know, Corey, it's like, well, you know, half of that shit didn't happen, and the stuff that did didn't happen that way.
And if they ever wanted to, they could do individual movies based off the adventures that happened in those comics.
Sure.
You have opening scene, you have X-23 opening up a comic, and it's a panel of various X-Men doing things, and then it turns into a live-action shot of those X-Men doing those things.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That would be interesting.
Then you have your throwbacks to weird first class X-Men, and like you have, rumor has it they're going into Dark Phoenix.
Yeah,
like that's where that's leading into.
Yeah, I mean they pretty much telegraphed that in Apocalypse. Yeah. I mean she's basically got the Phoenix already. I'm like, dude, we've seen you
one movie.
Yeah, I'm pleased to meet you, new Jean Grey. I guess you're the Phoenix now. Okay, well but you know what? I'll take that 10 minutes of Phoenixing than the entire third act of Last Stand. Movie in its ear. Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. Jeez. Not to mention, man, like I remember my dad's one of those people. I show him a movie. He sums things up in the simplest way because he usually can't follow this kind of stuff. And I remember him saying too, and it's exactly what I was thinking. He's like, He's like, how the hell do you de-evolutionize someone with a drug that you just shoot in their body and they just, all their physical characteristics just melt? I'm like, Dad, I'm like, good on you. I'm like, holy fuck.
God bless America.
Well, they did that with Last Stand.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's so stupid.
I think the real question is, the only question that matters, is Jennifer Lawrence coming back as Mystique?
I hope not.
You know what? If she does, there's not going to be a stitch of blue paint on her. Because, you know, you get towards the end of Apocalypse, and she's running around, like, in a suit with just the blue face paint. That's all we're going to get. And it's so funny. You know, I think I've talked about this on other podcasts before, but basically this might be the inner pervert in me or whatever, but, I mean, she's very clearly wearing a spandex unitard thing. Say what you will about Rebecca Romijn back in the day, and she can call me at 253-833-5004 BT Dubs.
Nice.
But I mean she was like naked with, except for like the body paint and the applications. It wasn't like a spandex suit. So I don't even see what Jennifer Lawrence is bitching about.
Well, just like Hugh Jackman's my Wolverine.
Okay.
She's my Mystique. Like Jennifer Lawrence, yeah, she's attractive and give the lady screen time, but at least do the blue paint. Like
Do it if you're gonna do it.
The other lady, she's my Mystique. She's the one I was introduced to at first in the movies because I wasn't into X-Men, let alone Marvel comics that much.
Sure.
Yeah. So she was,
I like her background.
She was my she was my Mystique. And then the young one, I was like, do the blue paint thing.
Yeah.
Do the blue paint. You're still Jennifer Lawrence. Stop.
They're all just auditioning for Ghost in the Shell. Because there's a skin suit. Like, they literally put her in a condom.
Yes.
And it's a skin suit. I mean, that's just...
But I'm done with Jennifer Lawrence as an actress for a while. She's okay in Hunger Games, but I don't need any more Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Gotcha. They should make a live version of Carmen Sandiego. She should dye her hair black.
Where is Carmen Sandiego?
And just have her be gone for most of the movie? Because that'd be great.
I don't know. They should. They're probably not going to do something like that.
Well, so...
I'm kind of there for that.
You know more.
You dust off Rockapella and stuff. Rockapella. Doo-wop, doo-wop, doo-wop. Fuck. Somebody else start talking. Otherwise, I'm going to just doo-wop over here. Jesus Christ.
If we get Dark Phoenix, because I know very little from the comics. I remember watching the X-Men cartoon. Are we going to get, like, is it going to go to space like Shi'ar Empire and the Gladiator?
I mean, they need to do something different, honestly. I could give two fucking shits. I really could. Because I remember after I saw Apocalypse, I called you, and you're like, how was it? I'm like, I'm like, well, there's the end scene, one of the parts, I'm like, is really cool. I'm like, but other than that, the movie was, like, subpar. So
why can't someone just give me Generation X already? Gen X. I just want Mondo and Chamber.
Holy shit. Wow, that's deep cuts. I mean, points to you, my friend.
The original TV movie they made back when you were...
Oh, did you guys remember that movie?
I do. How do you guys know from this? That shit came out before y'all was born.
I'm old, man. I'm 38.
He's. You should have saw us at Comic-Con last weekend. He's scaring 16-year-old girls.
Oh, yeah. I'd run up to him like, hey, we got candy, and like, we won't put this on YouTube. And they're like, come on,
it's
honey.
It's like 24 degrees outside, and he has shorts on.
I always wear shorts.
I saw that shit on your guys' Instagram. I saw that.
Yeah.
But after a while, it worked out, and we got some people. But
I'm too.
So he knows all about this.
No, yeah, I know, because I was in high school when that came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same.
Oh man, there's such great things in there. Like Jubilee like blows up the, like, one of my favorite lines when you talk about X-Men is the 90s cartoon. I love the shit. Like, I love when Cyclops is in the middle of the street and the Sentinel makes a discharge and blows down a tree. He's like, energy blast, huh? Here's one from a pro. And I'm just like, yes, man. I'm like, give me that movie.
Oh,
like, that's
God.
Awesome.
Dude, I think if you just take X-Men 92 and do it live action, I mean, like, with all the colors, you know, so, like, Cyclops has, like, the stupid strap outfit.
He has the bandoliers despite not having a gun.
Yeah, what's in those pouches? Fruit roll-ups? And yeah, you know, you get Jubilee with, like, the shorts and the banana jacket and the giant Terminator pink goggles and stuff. It's like, I'm there for that. I need it.
Oh, I agree. And you know what?
Jubilee's
great. Back in 2000 or 99, whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of X-Men, it wouldn't work. It's just because there wasn't a lot going on. But now, I mean, Jesus, we have Captain America has been on screen 18,000 times. I mean, Captain, one of the most bright, goofy outfits ever. And they pretty much kept it, but they you know, die down just a little bit, but it's still his costume. I'd love to see that X-Men.
Is Jean OSHA gonna be? Is it Jean OSHA, right? Where they were keeping all the mutant slaves? It wasn't a 90s cartoon.
That's Jean OSHA.
Are we gonna have that? Is there any attachment to that? To Cable?
Sometimes.
The Cable stuff's all over the place. I found an article saying that Brad Pitt might be in the running for Cable now.
I don't need that.
But
I need the dude from Avatar. I need Stephen Lang to be Cable.
Stephen Lang.
That's cool with me.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking Ron Perlman.
Don't breathe, motherfucker.
There you go.
Yeah, Ron Perlman's not doing. He's not doing Hellboy anymore.
Yeah, no shit. R.I.P. that franchise.
Yeah, he is old though. Isn't he?
Well, Cable's old though.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Like, move.
Well,
he got shot. Sons of Anarchy.
Now, before we do our whole like two thumbs up, two thumbs down, five stars or whatever.
Uh huh.
I wanted to take a moment to just sort of wrap up all of 17 years of Wolverine from my perspective.
Sure.
Which is, starting out, I didn't like him in the first couple of movies.
Okay.
I didn't like him at all, because when I thought X-Men, I thought 90s cartoons, and then the 90s cartoons, it's always Cyclops is the leader, and Wolverine's just sort of that grumpy guy who's like, I want to stab stuff.
I kind of need that movie.
But you have, like, end of the day, it's just like you have one of the Turtles as a leader.
Okay.
You have one of the X-Men being the leader, and Cyclops was that leader. So when you have a movie starting off with Wolverine, I'm like, that's just the angry guy. Why does he get his own movie?
Interesting.
Like, why is he the main character? Why is he the focal point? And even into the second movie, where it starts off with it's him and Storm. Nobody wants that. Nobody wanted that during the movie. Nobody wanted it after the movie. Nobody wanted it before the movie. It wasn't until, again, Origins was awful, but you're just like, wow, there is a character behind this dude.
Yeah, he's not the problem with Origins.
No.
Let's be clear about that. Hugh Jackman, in his performance as Wolverine, has always been consistent, and even in the terrible movies he's in, because he's been in some fucking terrible movies. In fact, look at the entire, he's been, 10 movies? A fair chunk of them are pretty bad. How can you be that good in such terrible movies? I mean, it's like he's never been the problem with those movies. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to trample all of you there.
But it wasn't until like First Class happened where I'm just like, wow, where's my Wolverine?
Interesting.
So First Class happened, that's where I really noticed me missing Hugh Jackman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start bringing him back, and then I feel this is a really fitting in for him as this character. Like, they couldn't have wrapped it up better for his crappy... Like, he's had a rough road.
Yeah.
The fact that he even got this last movie is beyond me. But they couldn't have done a better job.
I agree.
And see, I was never... Growing up, I was never a fan at all of Wolverine. Even in the cartoons, I accepted him because he was just an X-Men. But he was always, like, just the mad dude that was stupid. They're like, Wolverine, don't. And he's like, I'm gone above. I talk about this all the time. And then they get captured, like, over and over. I'm like, you guys have to get this dude off the team. Like, he's got issues. Like, he's going to get you screwed every time.
And you're the reason Xavier's swearing in the future.
Right. And then, like, in sixth grade, everybody's, like, drawing him on their sketchbooks. I'm like, I don't like that dude. I'm like, no one.
Who are you drawing?
What? I wasn't drawing Iron Man.
Oh, okay.
Iron Man made sense to me. He's arrogant. Like, he'd always say, like, oh, I lost that battle. I'll make a better suit. I'll come back and win, and I'll be better next time.
Yeah.
The best line ever got me into comic books was, I wasn't into comic books until about sixth grade. My friend Chris is like, hey, he's like, check these out. And I'm like, yeah, Wolverine. I'm like, he wears this mask. It's kind of stupid. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. And Iron Man says, I can afford anything, but I can't afford to be wrong. And I'm like, God, you are arrogant and awesome, dude. Like, you are my new hero. Like, I'm going to read everything that you make. But, yeah, I thought the movies actually brought me into... Well, Hugh Jackman is the reason I like Wolverine now. Like, I wouldn't have liked him if it wasn't for Hugh Jackman.
You know, back in the 90s when there was, like, Fox Kids or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
They had their own magazine.
Yes. And
I would, like, randomly. I remember it was like, summer or something. I was home during the week. My mom was home. She gives it to me. She's like, hey, like, go to page 7. And I was like, all right, whatever. And it was like a full page, like a poster of the X movie coming out. But it was like, it was the X and they were all like shadowed in the background. And you see Wolverine standing with like one of his claws out and down. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, Mom, I'm like 9. I was like, I can't wait to see this movie. Can't wait till next whatever. I'm like, you got to take me to see it. And I was so, and the first time I ever saw Hugh Jackman was on a picture in a Fox Kids magazine. Even though couldn't see his face. But it was him. And it was boom, sailing from there.
Hell yeah.
For the longest time too, X2. Was probably my favorite X-Men movie for a long time.
Yeah,
that's fair enough.
And then
this one probably, yeah, takes the cake for me.
Well, even down to like Marvel versus Capcom for me. I never wanted to play as Wolverine. I always wanted to play as Gambit.
Well, because he had no range attacks.
Yeah. I was like, where's Gambit, damn it? And then you give me Gambit, and I was like, take it back. Put him in the oven for a little bit longer, please.
Hashtag not my Gambit.
I ruined the count on so many numerous decks of cards when I was a kid. Like, I would throw them all over. I'd be like, I'd bring the sound effects, and I'd fling them at people. Man, I love Gambit.
It's just put Gambit in Deadpool and let him start swearing and stuff. Yeah. Something. That Gambit movie with Channing Tatum, I don't even know if that's happening. It's probably not going to happen.
I don't even know anymore.
It's delayed for 2 years now.
Does it mean anything to any of us that, I mean, this means a lot to me, that Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman have said clearly that they're done, but they have no problem coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, I haven't heard that. They made statements boldly. Ooh.
They do Logan too, except they toss in like Nick Fury. He's all old now.
Yeah. Well, no, then you do like the 20th Century Fox version of the Marvel Universe, and you get David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury.
Yes!
So it's, you get white Nick Fury. And then that's how you reconcile that and make that shit work.
Oh my God. God,
that's terrible. I don't think I need that, but I think I kind of need that.
And then you toss in Tobey Maguire. I got it. Like, Tobey Maguire comes back as Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, with his walker and cane and whatnot.
He's crying a little bit.
Yeah.
Why is Uncle Ben still dead?
Oh, man.
What's his name? The Russian is playing Punisher from Rocky.
Oh, I missed that guy.
Oh.
I was just blanking out his name. In the Expendable movies,
but yeah, Google. I almost like the old Punisher than the new one, but that's a whole nother podcast for a different day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't exactly disagree, but totally agree that that's a totally different thing. For me, at least, you know, Wolverine has always been one of those characters that I've been aware of and that I've always liked. My thing was, is I got into comics at probably the worst time ever for anybody to get into comics. It was the 90s. So Wolverine is like in every single comic. It's like everything is like a Wolverine, Punisher, and Venom team up. And they're all just out like murdering people, being anti-heroes and whatnot. And it just hit saturation for me. I was always exposed to Wolverine as a lead character, and it wasn't until I want to say like the mid 2000s with Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men series that firmly planted Logan as a supporting character. And I'm like, oh, I get it. This is how you make Logan work the best, as you know, he's not the main guy. He's the guy that's given the main guy all the shit, and that makes the main guy better. So I mean, Corey, to get back to your point about the about Cyclops and leader characters, for me, I've always found the leader characters to be the least interesting. Who likes Leonardo? Who likes Cyclops? Who likes the Red Power Ranger? You know, it's like, who gives a fuck about those guys? It's all about, you know, Wolverine or...
Who likes Superman?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I've always been supportive of the supporting characters. I have to say that. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I've always liked the lower tier. I like Jubilee.
Yeah.
And things like that, yeah.
Well, again, the supporting character in this movie didn't speak for most of the movie, and she killed it.
Yeah,
she made the movie for me.
Yeah,
just to bring it all back around.
And for me though, just as you know, to kind of cap off my Wolverine thought there, it was. But Hugh Jackman sold me from moment one. That point where you see him in the cage, his head is down, he's drinking some cheap beer and cranking on a cigar, and then he comes back and like cracks his neck and then starts beating the shit out of the dude in that cage, and then that whole sequence where, like, you know, he meets Rogue and he's all grumpy, and I just now realized this: we didn't get any instances of cartoonish neck cracking. Because remember, like, whenever, like, he goes to, like, he does that badass neck crack.
You hear it. Yeah, it's audible.
Yeah, and you didn't get any of those more lighthearted notes. They played it very serious. Yeah, that was just breaking news that distracted me as I thought about it as we went. But no, I think that between from X-Men 2000 to Logan in 2017, I can't think of a more complete character arc between, like, a fictional character and an actor that brought them to life. You know, we'll always have more Batmans. We'll always have more James Bonds. Shit, we may even get another Indiana Jones or something. But I think in this case, as much as like Chris Evans is as Captain America or Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man, Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
That sort of brings me to a question I wanted to ask is how much staying power do you think this movie has and how much staying power as a character do you think he has? Point being, I saw a picture on Twitter. It was Emma Watson dressed up as Belle, and the caption on it was, "We now have an entire generation who's going to know Emma Watson as Belle instead of Hermione from Harry Potter."
I don't know if you could break that for me though. I think she's always going to be.
I definitely saw
for you guys though, because
for those 4 year olds out there,
My daughter won't accept this movie at all.
Really?
I mean, that's also because I live here with her.
Oh, I understand.
But I think it's burning off on her. Yeah, I think it's rubbing off.
You have people going to movies that Hermione Granger. Yeah, that was a character she played a while ago. Is this Hugh Jackman's character? Is this what we're going to remember him for? Is this Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man?
Yeah,
I think so.
Always remember,
because he was
not going to remember him. Swordfish or anything.
No.
What was he in?
Halle Berry's tits couldn't save that movie. That movie sucks.
He was in Les Mis though.
Les Mis. Yes, he was in. You know what that movie could have used? More Les.
Yeah. Theater, what's that called?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that right now.
But they did a lot of press with that, and he showed off his singing chops a lot. He even did that Wolverine song.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hugh Jackman is he's a multi-talented person. I mean, he's one of those people that, like, in real life, I just hate their guts because, I mean, he is a dashing-looking dude. I mean, he's a fine-looking man, and he can sing, he can dance, he can act, he can literally do everything. He is literally a god amongst men. And I'm just so jelly that I cannot contain myself. But are you asking, is he typecast? Is he forever chained to Wolverine and can't do anything else? Because I don't know if that's the case.
Not typecasted, but if you had to think of a character, like Robert Downey Jr., I forgot the name of the movie. He did that movie where he was a lawyer. I'm not going to remember that movie.
Oh, The Judge?
Don't watch that movie.
You
get to watch Robert Duvall shit in a shower. You don't need that in your life. Do not watch that movie.
You have Johnny Depp. He was in Fear and Loathing. He was Willy Wonka, but he's always going to be Captain Jack Sparrow for me.
Okay.
So you have all these actors playing so many different characters. Yeah. Did Hugh Jackman find his character? Like, is this going to be him?
I think it's most recognizable as far as him playing a character. Like, he can go play, you know, a dude named Billy in whatever movie in 2019, but when they look, they're gonna be like, yeah, he was Wolverine for 17 years.
Right.
Even in the movie, you guys ever see Prisoners?
Nope.
With him? No, I hear it's really good, though.
Awesome movie. Loved it. He's a father in that movie. His daughters get kidnapped, and then he pretty much becomes Wolverine without flaws.
Right.
I mean, he just rages. And it's like, well, it's, you know, elements of Wolverine, but so I know him for that movie, but it's kind of because Wolverine was kind of in that movie. I don't think you can't top Wolverine, I don't think.
I'll tell you a side note, man. I always tell my wife, I said, if she ever gets some crazy urges and she gets a chance with Jackman, the divorce wouldn't happen there. It would happen because I'd be so proud of it. I like tell people, like, I'm like, my wife had a thing with Hugh Jackman. And I think she just gets sick of me, like, talking about it too much.
I want to see, though, Iron Man. Like, now that we have...
With my wife?
Yeah.
What?
Like, in a suit? Like, or is it like, Robert Downey Jr.?
What is happening?
Hey,
Corey, can I see you over here for a sec? What is happening? What are these people talking about? I don't know what's happening.
I was going with...
It was a one-time coupon.
Right?
It was like... I was trying to minimize the moral.
I was just saying, Wolverine has had his movies and the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. I wonder now, since Iron Man has had his movies and the Avengers, Civil War, all that crap, I wonder after Infinity War, if he doesn't die, if they'll do like an Iron Man 4 as kind of his send-out.
I think we're kind of catching up to where we are in comic book, because from what I know in Marvel Universe right now, I think we're getting to the point where all the actors are at the end of their contract, and they're like, I think I'm done acting for a little bit as this character.
Yeah.
I think we're slowly moving towards She-Thor and Captain Hawkeye America.
Captain Planet? What?
But we're having
Captain Planet.
We're having we're moving towards those other characters. We have a new Iron Man. Well, Iron Lady.
Oh yeah.
We have Iron Man just spelled with an F-E, and not just because that's the.
What you did there.
That was clever.
That was awesome. Shout out
now
to the middleman.
Now I know why you guys are so confident on the radio.
Fucking DC nerd over here. Jesus Christ.
That's why I name drop you guys. Like sometimes I go to like Jimmy John's, and I'm just like, I'm like. Siebert, Corbin, Cork, and then they're like, what? They're like, sir, it's $7. I'm like, no. I'm like, let me say it again. And it's, I don't know. I just pay out of, like, you know.
They're like, sir, it's the Big John or it's the Billy Club or it's the veggies. It's not none of that. No.
Yeah, no. I just, like,
I need my own sandwich now. Damn it.
Same.
Well, it sounds like we have one.
Oh, that's dope. So,
People won't even give me, like, free stickers at a con when I mention our name. I'm like, I get a sticker. They're like, not you.
Who the fuck are you? Like, well,
so do we
watch our show Sundays?
Before we fly too far off the rails, do we want to give our 5-star rating or whatever? How are we? What metric are we using? Are we doing 6 claws out of 6?
I'm doing cheese dips.
Cheese dips.
Cheese dips. That's right. You did promise that you would bring the cheesy dips.
It's the closest I can get, Mike.
All right.
Cheese dips, man.
All right.
So, like, how many cheese dips?
How many cheese dips? Like, I mean, how many do you bring to a party? Like, is 5 right, or is that...
Are you going through this entire bag of chips on your own watching this movie?
Oh, that's good.
Or
yeah,
are you
like,
sharing,
like,
or... Yeah.
Like, because when I have my own thing of popcorn, depending on how intensive a movie it is for me, I'm either sharing with Thursday, or Thursday's going to get her own popcorn.
Oh, gotcha.
Because I'm just munching on that popcorn by myself the entire time, just shoveling and... Because I have to have some way to ease the tension, I guess.
Interesting.
So are you eating this entire bag of chips by yourself, or are you sharing with a Tim?
With a Tim? I'll tell you what, that's the question. And if the movie's good enough, will I let someone double dip in my cheese? Because, like, I feel bad if, like, Matt came over and I'm watching Logan, I'm like, it's just so good, I'd have to let him, like double dip in my cheese. Let me rephrase this crap.
Yeah, like, this is the most convoluted really rating system ever. I love it.
It's not working.
I'm there for that.
So I'm starting to think I would use, put it this way. I'm now.
Oh,
this Logan movie in the X-Men universe.
He totally censored himself.
I'd take that cheese and I would use scoops. I get the scoops and I fill everyone up to the top.
Yay, internet!
It's a movie. No, this movie's not a sharing movie.
If I brought my own cheese?
You guys are cutting out a little bit. We missed all of
your
that.
Own cheese.
Oh, no.
So they like the movie.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, they like the movie. It's good.
We like the movie. I like the movie a lot.
It's Gucci.
Tim would pretty much fill a cheese chip to the top.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I think I'd eat 95% of the bag, so I know I was full and satisfied. Mm. And then I would give the remaining 5% of the bag to Tim, and it would even be cheddar and sour cream chips.
Oh,
I like those. Those from Lay's. Yeah, I like those.
Chips,
so yeah. I'd give Tim 5% of the bag.
Wow.
But I would eat most of it, and I would definitely, when I opened it, I would definitely pop it from the bottom so everybody in the damn theater heard that fucking bag popping of deliciousness.
Wham!
Nice.
I tried.
That was bad. And you should feel bad. You just rolled away from the mic a little bit and clapped your hands.
Better? Am I gonna be a Foley artist now?
Actually, that's a pretty good one. That was a good one. You may have a career in the Foley arts. As for me, I would savor the chips, and I would share them gladly because I think everybody needs to experience this movie, but I wouldn't devour the chips because, like, that was something that I found interesting. I love this movie, but I'm not in a hurry to go back and rewatch it. And I don't know if I'm going to watch it again and again and again. It's not that kind of movie because it, like, has that, again, that it gets really slow in the middle. It's great. You know, it's full of character development and lack of exposition and things like that. But, you know, it's I would probably find myself devouring the cheese dip and not knowing that the cheese is gone after I've already tried to share it with somebody. They're like, buddy, are you going to share that? I'm like, oh, shit, I just ate all that cheese dip. I'm sorry. There's some chips left, though. But yeah, I'm not gonna devour both of the chips and the cheese dip right away. I'm gonna kind of try to enjoy it a little bit as I'm sharing it. Loved it. Don't know if I'm gonna watch it again and again though.
Yeah, and I think
that's complimentary. That's a compliment.
I think this might be one of those movies where it's big screen only for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I compared it to Unforgiven earlier. I love Unforgiven. I probably haven't watched that movie in at least 15 years, but I still love it. So
I could have bought it today for $3. Side note.
What is that supposed to mean?
It was at the exchange. I saw it. Sorry. Go ahead.
Ah, nice.
Well, like, I watched The Magnificent Seven recently. Like, my grandpa bought it on DVD, and I watched it with him when I went down to Portland.
The new one?
Yeah.
Okay.
On a small screen, there's so much going on that I couldn't keep track. And grandpa doesn't have a small TV either. He has big TV because, you know, his eyesight's going or whatever.
Sure.
But there's so much going on in that movie that not seeing it in the movie theater, I think, did it an injustice. And I think that's where I'm at with this Logan movie.
Interesting.
With the way the colors are set, you have that sort of sepia tone to it. The way the camera's moving around, I think you miss out on those subtle camera movements even when it's out. Like, there are moments where he's just sitting in the truck and the camera's just sort of swaying. And it added to the mood.
Mm-hmm.
I think you lose a lot of that if it were to go to TV.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, whereas I can watch, like, you know, X-Men 2000 on my TV.
That pops on a cable and you sit down and you
get
30 minutes in and we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean...
It might be one of those movies. I'll tell you what, because another movie it reminds me of, I think it's going to... Deadpool is one of those movies that I've had around for a while, and it wasn't getting watched a lot when I brought it back.
Mm.
But, it's one of those movies I think Logan's going to be, like, when you watch it again, yours could be reminded again, like, wow, how good of a movie that was.
Yeah.
I agree. Same with Deadpool. Deadpool is a perfect movie. So entertaining, well done. I agree that when I bought it, it took me a long time to watch it again.
God, same here. That's funny.
I don't know why. It's not even long. It's like hour 40. Even. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because it's so good I don't need to watch it again.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
It was so good. I watched it on a plane ride back from South Carolina, like cross-country plane ride. I watched it after the newest Fantastic Four movie just to wash the taste of that movie out of my mouth. That's how good of a movie that is.
Oh, God. Jeez.
So, and
if I saw that Fantastic Four movie on a plane, I would just want to crash.
I mean, weren't you a fan of Mr. Fantastic wearing a slinky?
Ugh.
But I think
keep that shit.
I think that's where this movie's at for me. I think
Domashev.
Everybody loves a slinky. Come on.
Yeah.
I think it is a first time around. Devour the entire chip bag because I'm here for the ride, man. I'm engrossed. I'm not noticing I'm eating through that entire bag.
Mm.
It's got you that immersed in the movie, and it's got you feeling so many different emotions. You know, I was laughing in this movie despite how serious it was.
Yeah.
They had me crying. Full range of emotions. I was a glass. Well,
yeah, because he's
chamber.
Swearing at a little girl.
Glass cage of emotions.
I didn't know what to do.
We're literally in a glass cage of emotion here.
So,
here's a quick question.
What
would it, like? Okay, a lot of things can happen in life. All right, so you're in the movie. Like, is it what would make you get up and leave? Like, if you got a phone call or text message, like, what would it take? Like, your house broken into? You know, your something like something negative, or
I mean, if the house is on fire, it's not gonna be any less on fire when I get home. It's either gonna be there or it's not.
Like, you have like a paper due in a class, and you're supposed to email it to your professor, and it's at home. It's like, oh shit, I was supposed to email it at 4, and it's 3:45. I mean, would that make you get up and leave and go do it?
Nope, I made a choice. I went and I paid $7 for this movie when I watched it. Yay me! But
so
it was worth. I would have paid like midnight premiere like money.
Yeah. Rather than matinee money that I did, like $5 Tuesdays or discount Tuesdays, whatever the fuck it is at the Century. So are you asking in general about...
Just in general.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. What would get up and actually make me leave the theater, like mid-movie, my wife would have to call me and say someone with a gun and knife and whatever is trying to break in and kill her and rape her.
Wow.
Wow.
And sorry, well, yeah.
That's dark.
Second, one of my parents would have to be having a fatal heart attack. And then even then, I'd be like, well, they, like, what time are you getting?
Oh, fatal heart attack. So you already have to know the future. Like, they said this is going to be fatal.
Like, I get a text from my dad.
He's like,
my
God, he's
she's not doing good. She just has a heart attack. We call 911. It's looking bad. In that case, I'd say, okay, what time are you getting to the hospital? If it was an hour, well, maybe I'd wait.
Okay, so if he has blue veins in his neck like the hands poison.
Right.
Wow, this is getting oddly specific. See, and unfortunately for me, none of those things would ever be the case because I'm so freaking compliant that I actually, like, watch the thing on my screen that says turn off your phone. I actually turn off my phone while I'm watching a movie because it's like, that's my time, goddammit.
Well, I do too.
You're right.
So it's
really
like
too, you ruined the scenario. Too. We follow that too. You're right. The scenario's
over. Hypothetical. Let's say you forgot to turn.
Oh, okay.
It takes a lot for me to even leave a bad movie because I paid for it. Damn it.
Yeah.
The only movie I've ever walked out on in a theater that I've paid for as an adult person paying for their own movies is the newest Independence Day. So that's my threshold.
Yeah, and you sat through an Attack on Titan movie too.
Oh, I sat through that. Like that was.
Yeah.
People were dying left and right, and the crowd was laughing. It was best movie experience ever. Like, you talk about the crowd being in
Battlefield Earth.
Yeah, that is not a good movie. For me, and now I never actually left, but during Transformers : Revenge of the Fallen. No, I don't think there's even a colon in those fucking movies. I never left because I was there with my wife, but I did so many unnecessary bathroom trips, and I never, you know, it's a weird thing. I never refill my soda, and I never refill my popcorn, even though at my theater that's a thing that you can do. I walked out of that movie at least six different times. I'm like, racist robots leaving. Oh, your main protagonist is a serial murderer leaving. It's like, I mean, my poor wife, like, after we got out of the movie, and it wasn't until after she saw, like, the huge furrowed brow I had. I mean, it's like, I gave myself a headache. My brow was so furrowed. I was so pissed off at that movie. She thought there was something wrong with me. Like, she thought I had, like, E. coli or something. It's like, you went to the bathroom a lot. It's like, I know you have to pee a lot, but goddamn, I'm like, no, it's a fucking movie. And I'm like that immature guy where I'm like, yeah, that fucking movie can eat it in its fucking ass.
James Hedlund, I'm going to hunt you down. Sir.
Yeah, moviepoopshoot.com.
Poop shoot. Go to movies after this, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You went back and you watched Marky Mark and the Age of Consent in Texas, though.
I did. And you know what? Fucking. It's like, no, it's okay to fuck kids. I have a card in my wallet that says it's okay. Fuck you, movie. Fucking Transformers.
Wow.
Fucking
yeah.
Hate those movies. I've said this on the radio before publicly. It's recorded. Yeah, not going to Transformers Part 5. Fuck that shit.
I wouldn't go if I was a free ticket. I can't. I like the first one. Other than that,
I don't dislike the first one.
I saw Devastator as a giant whatever pill bug creature monster thing, I was done at that point.
Yep.
But I think to bring this around, this all shows... our tolerance.
They dragged Sir Anthony Hopkins into that shit. Unforgivable.
But I think this goes to show how willing is comic book fans, how willing we are to take abuse. But when a good movie comes out like Logan, it's really, 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 really almost impossibly hard to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're willing to sit through the shit just to get that nugget of gold.
The cheese dip and smelled it though, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah.
Wow, that's deep, boys. That's
just
I mean, between all of the mixed metaphors and crossed analogies, I mean that's some deep shit. And fuck those Transformer movies.
If there were ever a way to end the Logan podcast, it'd be shard. Fuck the Transformers movies.
Reddit's computer generated ear. I can hate those movies.
But I think we might have to end it here because I have to be up in the morning. And so do you, gentlemen.
We do shows. You can do shows.
Show. We got places
to be. Are you
going to
surprise us?
I think the Brad Pitt thing was my surprise. Like, that surprised me this morning.
Yeah, you guys, like, have to totally redo all of your show prep because your entire segment is blown now.
Well, we still have Walking Dead. We still have Walking Dead. Like, Friday is a big thing. And last week was an episode.
cool. And
I think we might have to start breaking into Iron Fist a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe not take the entire series.
Oh, what about Death Note? I don't know anything about Death Note.
I don't either. I keep seeing
it. Oh, boy.
It looks like it's got Tobey Maguire from Spider-Man 3 in it, though.
Oh.
You know what?
My favorite.
Better movie.
I showed Thursday, and Thursday slapped me.
Yeah.
I showed her the trailer, and she slapped me and said, get that trash out of my face.
Yeah. You deserved it. I mean, you deserve a lot of slaps, but for that one, you especially deserved it. So.
I can talk about Beauty and the Beast. I got to see that last Sunday.
So, Mike, where can people find you, sir?
You can listen to my show every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time, live on 89.9 KGRG FM or on our show page at KGRG.com. Listen to The Monday Project and The Monday Project podcast, which you can find on SoundClouds and Stitchers and iTunes and wherever the fuck else you can get podcasts. We have a lot of fun. We talk about a lot of stuff like this, just not for as long, and play a lot of nerd music and have some other fun times there.
If you ever needed a breather from like all the nerd talk and you need some music in between, Manettes is perfect.
Yeah, it's a little bit both, because, yeah, we get pretty nerdy. In fact, on this week's episode, this coming Monday, we're going to have a local comic book artist, Blackie Shepherd, who's done work for Dynamite Comics for Vampirella as well as Voltron. He's going to talk about his Kickstarter for his new comic series called Brawler, which for anybody that likes ex-soldier vigilante stories, basically the main character is a former soldier, goes back to his old neighborhood, finds neighborhood is in disarray, and goes all vigilante on it. It's like, put a hockey mask on him and he's Wild Dog. I'm there for it. But anyway, that's gonna be this Monday, where we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Or in a past Monday, if you're listening a week later. Because podcasts are fun.
Yeah, podcasts are timeless.
Talk about freaking continuity issues.
Oh man, no kidding.
If you're listening to this on the podcast, this happened Monday.
Stop.
I'm lost, yeah.
You're going to hurt yourself. Where can people listen to you on the radio, sir?
I'm on every Wednesday through Friday, and my name's Cork. I do the Buzz Morning Show with Danica, and we do some geeky stuff. We do some not-so-geeky news. We do our six-packs and our Word of the Weeks and games and whatnot and hypothetical situations. And
ooh.
Yeah. It's... If you ever needed somebody talking to wake you up, I'd like to think I'm that person. I try to be super annoying to get you awake, or maybe you're interested in what I'm saying, and good on you either way.
Yeah,
before we became a part of your morning show, I used to wake up with your voice 3 days a week for the like 2 years before or whatever it was. So
yikes,
it was perfect work conversation. I would just do my job. I'd hear your voice in the background, play some tunes, and like perfect.
You got some cork in your ear.
Nice. Yeah. So,
Matt and Tim, where can people go to find out more about the Not So Much But Us show?
Well, Matt will cover social media, but if you want the simple plan would be Sunday nights at 9 p.m. our live web show on YouTube.
Ooh, yeah, because you guys
the simple plan.
You guys are live now, and that's exciting because you did episode 0, and then last Saturday was episode 1.
Oh, dope.
Yeah. Now with new improved tasty audio, it should be. I think after our test today, we'll have some audio that works.
It's definitely been dipped in cheese. And Tim, don't ever mention Simple Plan.
You know what? You know, I felt bad as soon as it came
band.
Out of my...
That damn band, dude.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. No, social medias are everywhere.
Do I need to do a Warped Tour plug now?
All right. Listen between now and whenever to win your tickets.
Typical Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but we're super active on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, you guys are.
Yeah, we're always...
Yeah, trying to give candy to kids. It's great.
Yeah.
My name's Tim!
Check us out there. Obviously, comment. Say stuff to us like, you guys suck, and then we'll retweet it.
Well, you guys were pretty up on the live chat, too. I was doing a little bit of live chatting, and you guys were pretty responsive on that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, thank you. That was cool.
Yeah, we were our first attempt at that. So
It was nice to be on that end of things, where I can live tweet her, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
Like, being able to live tweet or live comment and have somebody respond back, it's always a really nice feeling. Mike, that's something you talk about in your show.
Definitely, yeah. We're all about that interaction. Oh, did I plug my own social media? I don't think I did. Anyway,
nope,
we're at MondayProject89 on the Twitters. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mike Seibert Radio. If you type in Mike Seibert into any of those, regardless of your spelling, I'm like the second or third one. I'm famously not the guy that worked on the Mars rover. Because you type in Mike Seibert, and he's at Mike Seibert. He has my name spelled correctly as his handle, and he's like, yeah, I worked on the Mars rover. I'm pretty much the shit. And I'm like, well, all right, well, that's fine. I guess I'll be Mike Seibert Radio then.
Is that going to affect our free Quiznos or Jimmy John's?
No.
Drop Mike Seibert.
Yeah. Just say Mars rover. It's like, this dude's been to the moon. He hangs out with Matt Damon. He is Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
He taught Matt Damon how to grow potatoes.
Ew.
Shout out to Poop. He ate him with aspirin, right?
God, this podcast got really shitty all of a sudden.
Ew.
That was bad, man, and I feel bad.
It's his fault.
This podcast will also be on KGRG.com. It'll be on the official KGRG FM app.
Sure.
No matter how you're listening to it.
You realize this is like a 3-hour episode. It's not going to fit on the website.
It'll fit on SoundCloud, though.
It'll fit on SoundCloud.
I can't wait, man. We're big fans of like ourselves.
Same.
We're going to sit there with some cheese dip. And, yeah. Like, we're going to sit there and listen to how awesome we all are.
Delicious, velvety audio melting into your ears.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So, oh, my goodness.
No matter how you're listening, rate us somehow. Like, I know that you can comment on the website.
Sure.
On the SoundClouds and on the iTunes, there's the 5-star ratings or the hearts or the comments or whatever.
Something like that. You know, like, share, rate, and review the show wherever you find it. We appreciate the feedback.
And if you disagree with us, let us know, too. Like, don't be afraid to be mean. I'll only cry a lot.
Yeah, talk about how much you like that Deadpool trailer and how it wasn't distracting at all. Or something, or fight me about fucking Transformer movies,
or how the age of consent in Texas is just fine.
Oh, God damn it! God damn it! That fucking guy, you got me all wound up again. God damn it!